Indeed it is. Don't forget, Ian punted on Saturday. I'll be on Sunday night with more Coast to Coast programs for you. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll have more open line calls as well. Let's check out our Skype line. We'll go to Indianapolis, Indiana. Blackwater is there. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, George?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
All right, fantastic. I just wanted to go over a few things. I had heard earlier in your program about the underground bunkers over in Denver and, you know, about how jaded our government's been about, you know, how things could come awry if a natural disaster would strike. And it got me to kind of think, you know, we have Ellen in, coming in, and they said that it had dissipated in the air and basically had evaporated as an ice crystal or what other known type of comet it could be. And what's got me kind of worried is maybe obviously our government might know something that we don't know, obviously, as they usually portray it in the media. There's a lot of gag orders on NASA scientists, and I listened to your old Coast to Coast program when you were actually talking about Ellen, and I found a really neat program that's free. I'm in the IT industry myself in Indianapolis, Indiana, and you know, information technology is growing every every turn we look. You know, there's the tablets with alien technology that Star Trek used to have. You know. You can touch a screen, and you know the Windows 8 is really going to blow people's minds because it's integrated for touchscreen monitors, where you can have a 32-inch touchscreen monitor in front of you, and a keyboard and a mouse, and that's it.
That's going to be incredible.
Mouse, the keyboard, Windows will all be touched through like the Android tablets are. So we're coming to a really big mark in the turn of the century into the 2000s, where we're all getting older. I'm 32 years old. I have a 2-year-old daughter here. But we really have a good life in Indianapolis. We were one of the few to accept any type of government allowance. Our governor and mayor here are great. We're hosting the Super Bowl this year for anybody that wants to swing by and, you know, check out our beautiful city. We keep it extra clean, you know.
Well, it's a great time. I used to go to Indianapolis a lot. I'll always remember the freeway system there, where you just, if you miss your exit, you just keep going around and around and around. But it's a great town. It really is. Let's take a few more calls. Tuscadero, California, on our weird line. It's Pally on Coast to Coast. It's Pally, huh?
Hi, George. Yes, it's Pally. It's a Tuscadero. It's about 14 miles from the coast of Morro Bay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm calling to share one of my favorite weird stories with you this evening. I have thousands of them because I was born a medium, and I have experienced phenomena my entire life, and I just have experienced something recently that has become my most favorite experience of all. So I want to share this.
Sure.
With
what happened?
So I was asleep one evening, and let me preface this by saying that when we're asleep, we are in an altered state of consciousness. So therefore, it changes your physical frequency, your vibration. And so typically when people have an experience with phenomenon, it is when they are sleeping because they have shifted their frequency, and therefore it allows entities that are playing around, so to speak, on other frequencies to come in and mess with your physical realm. So I am asleep in the evening, and I have Himalayan salt lamps throughout the house. So my home is illuminated in an orangish kind of tint, but it's not lit, but I can see throughout the house. And I am woke in my sleep, stiff as a board, lifted about 4 feet off my bed. Ooh. And about 6 feet off the ground. And I am taken down the hallway, laying flat on my back with my hair billowing behind me. I could feel the speed I was going by the way the wind was blowing across my body. It takes me into the center of my house. And it turns on a couple of the lights and turns them off and flashes the TV on and off and spins me 360 and brings me back down the hallway and places me in the bed. So from past experiences, I know that this is a good time to call in the light and be calm and just set my boundaries, and I know I'm safe and protected. And so I got a little bit snidely, and I made a comment that this doesn't rattle me. You haven't done enough to rattle me. And so I got
you
a very
were testing rattle. Them, weren't you?
Well, and I've done that way too many times in my life, I'll tell you. And so I got this response. Oh, you want to make a bet. And it picked me back up. And my arms now are rigid. My legs are rigid. My body is completely rigid. And it sends me down that hallway twice as fast as the first time. And on comes the coffee, the blender, the stove, open and close the refrigerator, all the lights, television, stereo, everything is flashing.
You lost your bet.
Spins me around and sends me back to the bed. So the following morning, I call my sister, who is an incredibly gifted clairvoyant light worker, and I told her the story. And she says, "Well, it sounds like you need to set some boundaries and do a little bit of cleansing." So I thought, okay. So I spent the morning and I did a little salt and a little sage, and then I sat down and I meditated and I set new boundaries, and I went to bed that evening, and I get woke by a voice in the house. This is the first time I've heard a voice so clear. And can I make it for you? Can I do it for you? This is the voice of a guy that sounds like the town crier. He might be in a village somewhere.
What does he want?
Well, this is what's funny. So this is what I hear. So all you people over here in a group, I want you all to stand over here. And the rest of you, I want you over, back up. All of you, back up. And so I sit up in the bed, and I'm looking around because the house is illuminated by these Himalayan salt lamps. And I look down the hall. I see nobody. I see nothing going on. And I'm very used to seeing entities. They're just a way of life.
Well, let me move on, too, because we've got thousands of more calls. And obviously, you're still here and you're still okay, whatever it wanted. That was a weird story. Oklahoma City, Robert, it's your turn. Thanks for holding.
Hey, George.
Hey.
Hey, I was wondering if you have ever looked into some of our police forces incorporating gang members around the country.
You were cutting out on me. Go. What did you want?
I was curious if you've ever looked into police forces around the USA trying to train gang members into their police forces.
I have not. What's going on there?
Oh, well, I guess it's been kept pretty secret from the public, but it's kind of a program that's been going on for the last 10 or 12 years.
What are they training them for?
Well, they're just kind of bringing them into the police forces around the country, and I guess the New World Order wants to use these people for, like,
As what, police officers or what?
Yeah, police officers, kind of like when Hitler had his brown shirts.
Where's this happening? I haven't heard this.
Well, you know, this kind of stuff doesn't really get on the national media.
I know, but where's it happening?
Well, it's mainly happening out in California, but it's happening all over the country.
Let me tell you something. Cities are cutting back on police departments. I don't think they're going grabbing gang members and turning them into police officers. I think whatever you've heard is probably wrong. Let's go to Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Brian, go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Hi. In the first hour, you were talking to the
astrologer.
Yes. And you asked why most prophecies and whatnot are based off of negative outcomes. And I was sitting there in the car talking to my girlfriend, and it hit me. It's about psychic flux.
She hit you?
No, she didn't. The idea hit me.
Oh, okay.
I was Now she's sitting there laughing at it in the background.
Right. She's having fun on this one.
Yes. No, the idea hit me. When people are in crisis or in bad places, they're very stressed out, very emotional.
Sure.
And it causes a beacon. When people are happy and relaxed, they just don't project as much. And I figure it has something to do with that a massive beacon goes off and people can kind of pick up on it.
Well, I'm conducting an experiment, which I mentioned earlier this week, which is far from being over, on positive and negative energy and its effects on things. And I'm starting to see a trend with this. It's pretty uncanny, or truly is. Let's go to Hendersonville, North Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hey, Carrie, it's your turn.
Hi, George. How are you tonight?
Okay.
The story I want to tell you happened back on right after 9/11, after the attacks in 2001. And if you recall, I think it was a day or two after the attacks, President Bush asked everyone to go to the church at noon and say a prayer for all the victims. And so I went and picked up my two children at school. I had one daughter that was 11 and one that was, I think she was about eight or nine. And so we went to the local church and we said a prayer. And then we were on our way to the grocery store. And where I live, I'm in Western North Carolina, and we have to drive, it's out in the country, in the rural area. So we're driving down this little road, and all along on the right is a cornfield, and it had already been harvested. And there's a couple of houses and some trees and then cornfield again. Well, when we were driving along the cornfield, movement caught, my eye. And I looked over, and I saw an airplane. Now, mind you, all the planes are grounded, which that didn't occur to me at the time.
Right.
But I saw an airplane, and it was flying so low, I could see the windows. I wish I'd have had the presence of mind. I was so shocked at seeing a plane that low. I mean, this thing was like 75 feet, 50 feet off the ground. It was that low. And, it was a big jet-type plane, and I wish I'd have had the presence of mind to look at the numbers or anything. And I was like, oh my God. And my daughter turned and looked and she saw the tail end of it. And then we ran into those trees, the trees were between us. So I stepped on the gas and I flew down past the trees and got to the end of the road at the stop sign. And I was shaking like a leaf and I jumped out of the car expecting to see a plane crashed in the field. There was no plane.
Where did it go?
There was no plane. All the planes were grounded.
Well, what did you look at? What did you see?
That's what I wonder. I don't know if I saw a ghost plane. I don't know why I would see it.
Did you hear anything? Did you hear it?
Did not hear anything. I just, like I said, the movement caught my eye, and I looked to my right, and there it was. And, I was almost looking in the windows. It was that low. And when I went, oh, my God, my daughter turned and looked, and she was like, oh, no. She said something to the same effect, like, oh, my God. And then we hurried up to the end of the road, and it was just gone. I got out of the car and looked to see if it was in the field somewhere. And by the time we got to the grocery store, we were both shaking.
How close are you to an airport?
Not far. Maybe 15, 20 miles. But yeah, it would have had to cross directly in front of us to get to the airport.
It would not be that low either.
No, because, it looked like it was going towards the airport, but it was so low, I would have seen it cross the road in front of us up ahead had it flown over. And all the planes were grounded at that time.
Except that one. I'm sure you two saw something. Let's go to Syracuse, New York. Eric, it's your turn on Coast to Coast.
Hey, George, how you doing
tonight? Good morning, good.
Excellent. Hey, I'm not sure if this story falls under the weird, the divine, or if I just owe it to the inspiration of George Norrie, but about a month ago, I am taking a break from listening to you at the top of the hour break, go outside for some fresh air, and I noticed these three red lights up in the sky. And, it's probably 3:00 in the morning, and I'm wondering, what the heck are these lights? Not a helicopter, moving way too fast and erratic to be a plane, and, they're gone within, you know, probably 15 seconds of seeing them. But I saw enough to definitely, you know, realize it was not my eyes playing tricks on me. And within 5 minutes of that, and then I kind of do my best thinking at night as I'm listening to you, always work on new business ideas. All of a sudden, some ideas that I've been working on literally hit me like an epiphany, and I start writing and writing and writing. And I've been working on a project, because I'm a disabled Navy vet, and I've been working on a new project to help veterans. But, you know, it was more of an abstract thought. And George, within 5 minutes of seeing those lights, for the next 3 hours, I wrote and literally had an entire business plan. Literally, just everything came together like nothing I've ever seen before. And, you know, fast forward a month, I've literally got this thing fast-tracked, and the ideas have, you know, since that night have flowed, and I've literally got this thing up and running, and we hope to be online within the next 3 months. That's going to do a lot of good things for a lot of our men and women that are coming back from overseas.
Well, good for you, and we need that. Inspired by lights in the sky. Or maybe this program, too. We've got time for one more call before the break. Let us go to Susie in Port Charlotte, Florida. Susie, go ahead. We only got 2 minutes for you. Go ahead.
I'll make this quick. This is a bizarre story. It happened to my best friend. He was going to sleep at night, and he heard a weird tone, a vibration, and he started just relax and listen and fall into the tone and vibration, and he started seeing faces. And in his mind, he thought, well, these aren't real faces. This isn't what I'm really seeing. So he questioned the faces that he was seeing in his mind and said, I know you're not real. You're not what I'm really seeing. And then he'd see another face, and this repeated over and over. And he kept going deeper and deeper into the tone and the vibration, and the faces would change. And this happened repeatedly. And eventually it got to the point where it got stronger and stronger. And then he said it got more threatening as he got through each face till it got to a point where he described it as an entity that was, he felt, very malevolent, and it became a very large sphere or orb in his room.
Could he tell who these faces were?
No, he didn't recognize any of them.
Probably politicians.
No, they were more like ancient faces, like maybe you might see in mythology. Anyhow, then he came awake, fully conscious, and this huge ball sphere was in his room, and he felt very threatened, like he was going to be attacked. And I would not have believed this, except that there was proof this happened, physical proof.
What was the physical proof?
Well, right when he felt like he was going to be attacked by this sphere, a lady in blue came through his window and struck the sphere and destroyed it. And then the next morning we lived upstairs. We came downstairs. He had about a 6 foot tall Datura plant outside of his window. And that huge bush was a withered, dried up little twig.
That's interesting. That was weird too. We'll be back. We've got another great week of programs for you on Coast to Coast AM. Just go up to our website, coasttocoastam.com, and take a look at the weekly schedule. All kinds of things, including, of course, Thursday, Dr. Doom, Ed Dames, talks about, yep, the kill shot on Coast to Coast AM, and much, much more. And once again, we hear of another Coast to Coast guest who has sadly passed on, this time Dr. Fred Bell, UFO contactee, explorer of scientific mysteries. Dr. Bell died shortly after being interviewed by Jesse Ventura for an upcoming conspiracy show episode. Frequent guest on Coast to Coast. Just a few months ago, I had an opportunity to talk with him. Here we are with Fred Bell. Fred, what are some of the symptoms of electronic harassment?
Well, there's a bunch of them, and there's also environmental symptoms, too. But just a few are sleep deprivation, fatigue, malaise, irritability, shortening of the attention span, daytime fatigue attacks I see in a lot of people. on older people, cataracts, blood changes, circulatory programs, permanent deterioration of the central nervous system. Another one is very common is blurred vision and loss of concentration, whole body jerks, shaking of the body, heat flashes, artificial fever, shortness of the breath, loss of control of the vocal cords, which is because of that radar flashlight studies, that kind of stuff. Unusual forgetfulness, things like that, sudden sexual urges, suicidal and homicidal thoughts, panic attacks. And the biggest one that I see of all in the people I've done is some form of depression and extreme paranoia. I see that. And in sometimes in the environment around the targeted person, some people out there I know are going to relate to this, is a stoppage of power to appliances, manipulation of appliance settings, temporary failures that fix themselves, movements of objects off and off the shelf, under the floor, causing breakage, precision and manipulation of switches and controls, premature failure of appliances and computer failures and errors. That's just some of the stuff that goes on. I mean, it does affect the environment, especially if they're doing the millimeter wave stuff, you know, which is a common delivery system.
What is confusion weaponry, Fred?
Well, confusion weaponry is, it was basically brought about several years ago where we were using thoughts to, you know, frequencies that mess up the thinking system of the body. Okay, this was the original, how it really all started. Later on, it got, there were different devices developed that were neurostimulators from a distance. I remember in the very beginning, they were developing devices where they had a control, you know, an implant in your head, and then it was, you know, you would see the effect of it in your head. Later on, it became remote control, and now it's done in a difference, almost on a quantum level. And it's basically impulses that are sent to the body that cause that person to go into some confusion state. A good example of that was just recently, that lady that was on the news the other night, a little blonde girl. You might have seen this. It was about a week ago.
Oh, the one who had the not a stroke, but they think something happened to her.
Yeah.
She had some kind of severe migraine, they said.
Yeah, they and she never ever had a migraine before. That to me is probably they targeted her just to see what it would happen while she was on the air, because there were no symptoms afterwards. There was no damage to her body, no neurological damage or any even symptoms. That's confusion weaponry. And that was a good example. I was really surprised to see them pull that out of their hat and immediately, you know, apply that so quickly. But it did. I mean,
that was one of the strangest videos I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the founder, the term confusion weaponry came originally from Dr. Ross Ade, who was a formerly of the Brain Research Center at the University of Southern California. And he worked at Loma Linda, and he worked on the Pandora project, which is part of that stuff that was with the Soviets bombarding us. And his definition was specific behavior modifications of electromagnetic means, and the chemical part of it. Now there's chemistry involved here, and that causes what's called a calcium efflux. Okay, and this is usually from the microwave side of it, and when this calcium efflux happens, it throws out the blood pressure rates, and because remember, calcium ions are necessary to make the heart beat through the atriums of the heart. If you interfere with that, you start getting voids in the brain, lack of oxygen in the brain, and so the blood pressure starts to go up or down, and that causes a panic attack. So you can see how that goes into a panic attack, and if it goes into a panic attack, then that person's going to run down. You know, if it happens more than once, then they're going to run to Big Pharma for some drugs, some SSRI drugs or something, which brings the drug industry on board. But, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that goes on. And this was going back, this goes back to the 60s, okay? And then in the 80s, Dr. Ade demonstrated how 147 megahertz field with a power level of just 0.8 milliwatts per square centimeter causes this calcium influx. And then what happens is they used 7 megahertz carrier, and they modulate it down to 6 to 20 hertz, which is ELF. And the heart likes to beat, I think the heart beats somewhere around 8.1 or 8.2 hertz. So, and it's very easy to overpower, you know, the human body only generates about 20 millivolts, average person in the brain, sending it down through the central nervous system, which then has to be distributed through all the electrical factions of the body, which is everything. So it's not, it doesn't take much with a small millimeter beam to interfere with that delicate process of the human being. And because when you go to that millimeter wavelength stuff, which is considered between 30 and 300 gigahertz, that makes it pencil beam, like laser-like technology, that once a person zeroed in on from all of these things we've been discussing about voice and speech patterns and listening to them on the computer and the phone and all of that, it's no problem to zero in with two pencil beams on that person and do all kinds of disruptive things, including introduce a audio component between the two small millimeter wavelength beams, which has an audio component. And people then hear themselves, somebody's talking in their head. And some of the people I've talked to say, one lady specific I remember, she said, I could hear the, it was in the control room. And I could hear people in the background talking, and these voices are in my head. And this was very unusual. And then this is the kind of stuff that we run across, and not just one case, a lot. You know, if it was just one, I'd shine it on.
Whatever happened to the weaponry of the audio weaponry, where they could turn it on and people would just go down to their knees? It would hurt them, their ears. So
that's very much alive right now. They use it on crowd control. That's considered the friendlier form of crowd control.
I mean, I haven't seen it used in the Middle East, so they don't have it, right?
Well, they make it right down here in San Diego, so one of the companies does. Yeah, they will.
Well, I mean, we have it. I don't think.
Oh yeah,
they
we have it.
Yeah,
I've seen it. It's on a big trailer. It has a big antenna, and it works on heat. What happens is it goes to like a tenth of an inch under the skin, and so it starts getting really hot. And so this audio beam puts out this heat on the body, and they get so hot they just burn up and they just start freaking out. It's not so much the high volume. Yeah, there's a screeching to it, but there's a heat faction that they use on it.
Tell me about what they're doing with satellites, Fred.
Okay. Where do you want me to start? we started off with the Corona project a long time ago. They were launched from Vandenberg, and that was spy stuff. And then later on, we came along with the MISTI series, which then became like the Keyhole satellites, the big launch. When NASA got involved was in 1991 with the STS-38. Then we have the Iridium satellites, and we had several other satellite companies go up there. And one friend of mine started Iridium. I know the guy very well, and he's retired now. But these satellites not only do things down here on Earth, these satellites, because of different countries being involved, go spy on themselves. They got satellites up there that cruise around and go from one satellite to another, monitoring the frequencies that it's putting out and where it's transmitting it to.
Huh.
Yeah, but what they do, I mean, the first time it came to public scrutiny was, I forget the incidents, it's ain't in my head, but I remember what happened.
Was it a Chinese satellite that went down, or was it a Russian one?
Well, it might have been a Chinese one, but the first time that we actually saw the RF stuff was getting some birds off a runway at an airport. They beamed in on a bunch of pigeons, and then they admitted that that's what caused these birds to get out of there because they were having a problem. Now, as far as the Chinese satellites, you know, I talked to the director at JPL a while back, and I asked him about when they were launching in North Korea, the satellites, actually North Korea, if we were... remember they'd get up about a quarter of a mile and blow up? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I asked them if Kim Jong Il's satellites were doing, we were blowing them out of the sky with our Star Wars technology. And the guy couldn't answer that phone, but the guy that started Iridium is the guy that hooked me up to the guy at JPL. I'm not mentioning names. So he went and got on a secured phone. And I told him, don't BS me, and I've been down this road before, and I'm with a so-and-so person who actually got him on the phone. So he admitted, yeah, they have a technology. Well, it's pretty simple now, but they knock things out of the sky with EMP pulses. I don't think they lasered that, those rockets. I think they just knocked down guidance systems.
This
down.
Sounds like old Tesla technology, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Tesla was the very first guy. Remember, 47, he had the Tesla something or other. I forget what it was called. But then they came in and they took away from him, they confiscated his papers. And one of the Tesla generators, one of the Tesla things that he made was the beginning of that actual science. It's it's come a long way now, but they can not only use it on humans, they can use it on animals. They can use it on a computer. They can use it on your car. Of course, you probably know the Highway Patrol around here in California is developing devices to shut down, you know, electronic ignitions in cars when they're chasing, you know, make car chases safer and all that kind of stuff. So the technology is blossoming all over the place. It really is.
Is it good or bad?
Well, if you catch, you know, the other day I saw this horrible crash on a night chase here in California. I know you're back in the Midwest.
No, I'm in L.A. right now.
Oh, are you? Okay, yeah. Cool. I thought you were back east in the Midwest. So anyway, this guy, in the crash, he broadsided this poor lady, you know, and the cops shouldn't have been chasing him that close. I mean, they were pushing him, and it was middle of, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, he broadsided this lady, and it broke her neck and her back. And
oh, jeez.
The cops didn't even, the ambulance came, and the person was dead in the water. They didn't move out of their car, but the person did live because it was on Channel 5 the next day. And that, so eliminate that kind of ridiculousness. They could have followed this bad guy in a helicopter, you know, and got him eventually that way. So from that point, the technology is good. But unfortunately, with the government programs in place, the depopulation policies in place, you know, trying to get rid of people, the deceit that's going on, they're going to use it for a bad reason, you know, bad reasons. And that's
I've always wondered, though, Fred, let me ask you this. I mean, a guy robs a bank. So you legitimately know he did this, right?
Yeah.
Gets in his car. And now he's got this high-speed police chase down the freeway.
Right.
And, you know, TV cameras are there, so you're watching the thing live.
Right.
What would be wrong, this is kind of a rhetorical question, if they had a missile system in a helicopter and blew the guy up?
Yeah, that would be cool.
I mean, he's a bank robber. Maybe he shot someone. I mean, why screw around and let him drive through the freeways, maybe hit someone and kill somebody else? Why don't you just go there and blow him up?
Yeah, or just disable the whole vehicle. That's a great idea.
I mean, somebody will say, "Oh my God, what if he's not guilty? What if it's this? Come on."
Well, you know,
these would be with obvious cases.
Yeah, I don't think that the police departments have the budgets for that yet, but there's some really keen infrared laser systems now that you can aim. The military has them. You can look through like a finder scope, and they could just put with a helicopter. They could just go right above that guy's car and just cut a nice little beam right through the top of his car. And go right into him and just
and get him. But you know the reason why?
That's a here and now.
But the reason why nobody wants this? Because they don't trust government.
Well, I don't know. Who does?
That's it. I mean, some of these things could be used for legitimate purposes, for helping, for ensuring safety of the public, but people just don't trust government.
No, they don't. I mean, do you?
No, I don't.
I haven't.
I don't. I want to.
Yeah, well.
I want to more than you can imagine.
Well, you know.
But I don't.
You mentioned the very beginning of the show about, you know, Bluebeam, and you know, it's so, that project is so alive if you know how to see it. And the first thing they did, the government did, is take God out of the Constitution, God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, God off the currency. You know, all of that's gone. It's just part of it, but it's an erosion. It's fascism. That's what's going on, and you have to trust in the fact that your government will lie to you.
Just today,
yeah,
the Supreme Court ruled that parents cannot sue big pharmaceutical companies over their vaccines.
Yeah.
I mean, here we go again. I mean, the little guy gets the short end of the stick.
Yeah, and I'm reading this book by this, forget his name, but he's over in England. He came over here. You probably had him on your show.
Andrew Wakefield.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just had him on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, I personally, my company Paradigm, we have worked with kids that are dyslexic and harmed by vaccines. I remember when I got vaccinated when I was a kid, I got stomach cramps, okay, which is, and that's a huge stomach cramp. I would lay down, you know, a few weeks afterwards, I lay down and lay in tremendous pain. I'll never forget this. Well, colonitis is one of the effects, the side effects of these vaccines, and I had that when I was a kid, so it was happening not just recently, but it was happening back then. Now, I think because we have, you know, a better communication system, I think people are becoming aware of the debilitating effects of these vaccines. You know, it's not just, you know, the kids becoming basically stupid all of a sudden and losing their motor abilities and all kinds of other things. There's a lot of far-reaching effects in the immune system, and I also believe that, you know, having, you know, if we wanted to go into history of big pharma, starting with, you know, IG Farben and the Rockefellers and all that, and their money and all the corporations they set up, which became Merck and all these companies today, we could go there, but I don't think we have time tonight. But if you go down that line, you'll see that even in the Nazis, in World War II. In their concentration camps, these kinds of experiments were going on even then.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.